You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
Football fans, welcome back to another episode of the Underdog Podcast, where we talk P6 football for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty. This is another episode of what we call Joe Talk, and that is me, Joe Serpico. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Serp, and on the other side of the mic, it's my man Joe Brobeck. What's up, man?
You know, I'm sore.
You know what? I'll lead us in this way. Joe just got not 2 inches, 2 feet of snow this past weekend, and my man is hurting a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good workout. You don't need a workout anymore, so I can't really complain there.
Well, tell them what you were telling me before we started.
Which part?
About what are you going to do with the rest of it?
Yeah, I don't know. When you, like, all the snowbanks are taller than me, which isn't hard to do when you're short, but still, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do if we get any more snow.
I recommended a flamethrower.
You recommended a move too.
Or a move. I mean, move to Maryland. That's not too bad of an idea.
Yeah, then I have to deal with 2 inches instead of 2 feet.
That's what she said.
Jeez.
Ooh. All right, so kind of apologize that we didn't have an episode last week with the Thanksgiving festivities kind of gotten our way. But in all honesty, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about last week because it's the same thing we're going to talk about this week. And that is conference championship game. It wasn't decided last week, but Memphis made it official. And that was Memphis coming up with that win against Cincinnati, a 34-24 win, which, I mean, Cincinnati kept it close for the most part, but, I mean, I never, in my eyes, felt that Memphis was really in doubt of this game. I don't know how you feel about that, but now that I feel like we're getting a repeat of this, the only thing that's going to really change is, I'm blanking on his last name, or his first name right now, but his first name was Bryant. Ben Bryant. He started the last game for the Bearcats, and I'm going to be honest, he was at least looking a little bit better as a passer than what we've seen from Desmond Ridder in recent weeks.
Well, it sounds like Ridder's been dealing with some injuries, which I don't know how much that affected him, but clearly he couldn't go. And given the last 2 weeks where he threw, it was like 70-some yards and 60-some yards, pretty much anything was going to be an improvement over that.
True. Now, did you see that some people thought that they were using that to their advantage? As like, okay, say Cincinnati lost that game, they could use it to their advantage for the New Year's Six Bowl, and they could use the fact that Ridder did not play that game, and that would help them out. Because now they're in a situation here where they are ranked behind Boise. So somehow, if Cincinnati manages to win this game against Memphis this week, you know, there's some people out there that feel like, well, that should jump them ahead of Boise once again. I'm on board of saying no. I'm sorry, but I think Boise State, I mean, kind of similar to the argument we had for the past 2 years, I guess, with UCF. Boise State's got one less loss in Cincinnati. They're more deserving.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was trying to see. Non-conference schedule was
Boise State played Florida State.
Beat Florida State, Marshall.
Their only loss was to BYU, I believe, on the road, if I remember right.
Well, if you look at common opponents, they both played Marshall. How about that? And Boise State only won 14-7. Cincinnati won 52-14.
That's I don't that know. Was arguably Cincinnati's best game of the year, too.
And, well, yeah, and Cincinnati played, what, one, two, three, four ranked teams, whereas Boise State played none. So I could see why people think that Cincinnati should get in. It's kind of tough to justify with, you know, the two losses versus one loss. Because I don't like, and we're seeing it in the college football playoff rankings, is they're starting to justify losing over winning. It's like, what's the point of winning if you're like, it doesn't help you? So you look at like Georgia, who lost to South Carolina, who's, I don't know if they're what, 4-8? I don't know what their record is, 5-7, 4-8. And we just kind of ignore that. It's like, well, why do we ignore that? That's part of their record. So, you know, if you're looking at Cincinnati versus Boise State, though, you have the 42-0. Like, you can honestly just get rid of the Ohio State loss because Cincinnati wasn't winning that game anyways. Yeah, they looked terrible, but we knew they were going to lose, and they've been competitive in against Memphis, and they've won every other game. So I don't, I kind of go back and forth because I don't want to justify losing more, but at the same time, like, who, like, I'll ask you this, is Florida State Boise State's best win?
That's tough because Florida State obviously is not with, you know, when Boise State put this on their schedule, they obviously thought that this win was going to be a lot more. I mean, if you think probably, I mean, because we know these schedules are made, what, 7 to 10 years in advance?
Yeah.
So when Boise put this on their schedule, literally probably 10 years ago, they were like, all right, we get this win, and this will be enough to jump us into discussion for maybe, I mean, back then it was the BCS, but you know, now we got this playoff, and they still can't get to the discussion. Yeah. Even beating Florida State, who has been, I mean, let's be honest, historically one of the best teams in college football, and it's still not enough for them to be, where they, you know, they're 19th in the rankings.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can really go, some of these rankings I don't understand. I mean, there's a 3-loss Michigan team and a 3-loss Auburn team ahead of these 1-loss teams.
Yeah, and speaking of that, what was Alabama ranked? 10th?
They are 12th.
12th. Can you tell me who's Alabama's best win this year?
Ooh. I don't even know at this point because it was supposed to be Auburn, but they didn't win that game.
They didn't win the game. So their best win is against Texas A&M, who's a 3 or 4 loss team.
Yes.
They're 8-4. Mm-hmm. But they have two good losses. It's that kind of logic. Like, if you look at Alabama, they have two losses to number 2 LSU and number 15 at the time Auburn. So since they didn't beat anybody, do you reward them for losing to good competition, or do you give a team that actually beat teams? I don't know.
I mean, we've done this argument now for 3 years with the conference. It just, the disrespect is obvious. There's no reason that Memphis, who's sitting there at number 17, should not be ahead of Iowa. Has 3 losses. Michigan has 3 losses. Auburn has 3 losses. Am I saying if they played on a neutral field, would they beat them? Maybe. But just because they have that one loss, that gives them every right to be ahead of those teams. I mean, if we just use the logic, even I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, if you went undefeated, you were going to be at least in the discussion of the top 5. Now you're not even in that discussion.
Yeah, it's tough when Memphis loses to an 8-4 Temple team. I think that's the hardest part. Is you're not you didn't lose to a ranked team, you lost to an okay team.
Let's backtrack to last week before Cincinnati loses to Memphis. They're still sitting there. It's, what, 16, 17? I'm not sure exactly where they were last week. They should still be a top 10 team. When your only loss is to what we've seen on the field this year, Ohio State, the way they're just blowing teams out, they might be the best team back.
Yeah, well, then it goes into, we were talking about this before, is if say that you have an expanded playoff And I've seen, you see a lot of different takes on this, but there's a lot of people who say the group of five needs to have an automatic spot in there. But, like, does Memphis deserve to be in an 18 playoff right now? Like, they would just get destroyed by either LSU or Ohio State, right?
Yeah, but play the game.
Well, right, I agree with that, but...
I, you know, I'm just one of those... So, like, we saw the FCS, literally, what was, I think it was yesterday, they came out with their playoff bracket, and guess what? The first round of that, a bunch of teams got blown out. Why is it no big deal in the FCS, but such a big deal in the FBS?
Yeah.
Were we afraid to get these teams crushed on national TV? Don't sign up for it, then. Drop down FCS.
Well, like, we already have four teams, and...
Look at that game last year. Look at that championship game last year. It was a team that got blown out.
Right.
Anybody don't want to see that? I mean, it's not going to happen this year, but nobody would have argued if we would have saw them play each other again this year.
Well, and that doesn't make it, like, I don't like the argument of, oh, well, Clemson blew out Alabama, so we got, or so-and-so beat so-and-so, so we got the right teams. It's like, well, yeah, if you just take the results, but... If you, like, 2014, which was the first year, like, you can't use results for that to say, oh, well, we got it right, because they're not in a playoff. Playing a bowl game is different than playing in the playoff. So leaving Baylor and TCU out doesn't make it the right decision, because Baylor lost to Michigan State, and, like, TCU blew out whoever they played. So it's like, well, I don't know. I just don't like... when people use logic that doesn't make any sense.
I can't remember the exact ranking for UCF last year going into their bowl game against LSU. But as far as I remember, that wasn't a blowout.
No.
Well, that was a respect. You know what I mean? That would have been a respectable game in the playoff.
And right.
After LSU won that game, I mean, that kind of like started the domino effect of what we're seeing now. LSU is undefeated right now, arguably one of the top two teams in the country. I mean, the whole magic that is Joe Burrow, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I mean, if it wasn't for Joey Connor almost literally taking his freaking head off and Burrow getting up and just playing lights out afterwards. I mean, he almost put a new charge in that kid, it seems like.
Right.
The way he got lit up. But it just, I don't know, that just to me is like just further proves the argument. Like, the G5 can keep up with these teams. Now, the counter argument obviously is look what Cincinnati did when they played Ohio State this year, obviously. That's what the counter argument always is going to be. But, I mean, we've seen it time and time again. You never know what's going to happen until you play on that Saturday. And a championship team, I don't know. I kind of want to see it like the basketball. You know, if you not say you win your conference tournament, because you know that could get stupid sometimes. Where a team that won like two conference games somehow makes it an NCAA championship game. But in football, it's impossible for that to happen.
Right.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time: the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Like, another team that we didn't even mention yet, but like App State, if they go one loss this year, they have every right to go in a championship game. Or a playoff game, I should say. Granted, I think they would get crushed. If you say they were the A team and played LSU, yeah, LSU would just wipe the floor with them. But so what? Those small schools should have the same opportunity to market themselves. Like we see some of these random bowl games that don't even matter. Like put these one loss, you know, give them a reward for having an undefeated season as opposed to, I mean, at this point now, App State, Boise State, well, those two could be are the most likely. But one of those one-loss teams is just playing some crappy bowl game that doesn't matter whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's, well, and then here's the other thing is, like, for the people that say, oh, we want it to be an elite thing. We want the playoffs to be elite teams only. Well, you're not even guaranteeing that with four teams right now, because only two of the 10 semifinal games that we've watched have been decided by one score. So how, tell me how that's elite and that you got it right. Like, that doesn't make it right just because, oh, well, the national champion won. Like, yeah, Clemson won and they were probably the best team last year, but that doesn't mean that the four teams that were selected were right. I mean, Clemson almost lost a couple games last year, and they almost lost to North Carolina this year. But if they win the national championship, like, oh, that's the right, is it, we picked the right teams. I'm like, that doesn't mean they can't lose.
How about Dabo trying to make them, like, this huge underdog, too?
Yeah, well, whatever. He can do whatever he wants, but he kind of has a point. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's the same thing with UCF. Like, you didn't play anybody. Who did they play this year? Texas A&M, just like Alabama?
The difference is they're undefeated. The other one's not.
Right. Well, and UCF went undefeated, but they didn't play anybody. But apparently that's good enough for Clemson to get in to the top four. But UCF just struggles to crack the top 10.
Well, I mean, that kind of brings it back to the argument I was saying earlier. Like, literally, when Boise was doing this a couple of years ago, at least we saw Boise State in that top five. Now it's almost as if, like, they're purposely keeping a G5 team out of even the top 10 because they don't even want them to be close to the discussion for the playoff.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, I don't feel like a G5 team deserves an automatic spot, because, like, look at it, 2010 or 2011, whatever year that was, UConn was the best team at 8-4, and then it got destroyed by Florida State. So it's like, I don't feel like they deserve a spot just because they're the best G5 team.
That sounds so weird for you to say UConn.
Right? But you know what I mean? Like, just because I want the G5 to be included, but, like, only if they deserve it. Like, I'm not going to just throw any G5 team in there just because they deserve to have a spot. But
I agree. I mean, so that's when it gets dicey, you know? So, like, how many G5 teams do you include? Because this year we're looking at the possibility of there being three one-loss G5 teams. And so I guess really your argument is, okay, so you put the top five, you put the five conference champions from the P5 plus those three. But as we're seeing from these rankings, right now we got two SEC teams. One might get knocked. I mean, it's just crazy. But yeah, I'm with you. The G5 definitely should be in discussion. At least give them an opportunity. You know what I mean, like we were talking about, they get blown out. So what? How many of these how many of these bowl games are blowouts?
Right. Well, and all these people that are saying, like, oh, it needs to be elite and we need to keep it at four. We don't need to expand. Like, expansion is going to happen because money runs the world, and there more games means more money. And those same people that are saying we should keep it at four, like, they're going to watch the games. So really they're supporting expansion because they're not going to just tune out. They're going to watch the games. So it doesn't matter what they think if they want to keep it at four.
I know. And the other argument is, you know, they need to figure out what the big bowl games, because there's the six big ones, so they would have to expand on that. And they would figure that out. They would find a way to make all that work. The scheduling can be done.
It's all not BS. Hard.
Yeah. You know, if you got to start the week or the season 1 week earlier, like, and we already have a week zero, that doesn't even mean crap. Like,
or even get rid of the conference championship games. Like, who cares?
That's a bold argument right there.
Those games, well, it's like the AC is the perfect example. Memphis is better than Cincinnati. We already saw that. We don't need to play another game to, you know, like, you know, just because you played once doesn't mean you deserve another shot just because you lost.
Especially in this circumstance where it's literally they're playing back to back. Like, it almost just kind of seems pointless.
Right. And it's just, I don't, I mean, so then, like, Cincinnati wins this week, say that happens. What does that mean?
Like, it means we don't know who the champion is in this conference.
Right. It's just it doesn't make any. You're telling me like 1 week makes a huge difference? Or like when Alabama got in the playoff after not winning, they lost to Auburn, and then Auburn lost to Georgia, and then Alabama gets in the playoff. Like, they had their shot. Why do they deserve another chance? Football's all, there's a reason why you only play so many games in football, whereas, basketball, baseball, and hockey, they all have series in their playoffs, and football's one game. It's like, if you have a shot, like Alabama had their shot, Cincinnati had their shot, and they didn't win. Why? They don't deserve another shot. They had it, and you lost. It's tough luck. I mean, yeah, it sucks, but that's just too bad. Move on.
Well, we were saying before we started, but next year, I mean, it would still be the case, but you're not going to see where it's East versus West, so you wouldn't really have this scenario like we had last week where Cincinnati's coming into that game already knowing that they won the conference. So that could have changed that game last week, and maybe I'm trying to think in my head. We would still have this game regardless, right? Yes. Yes, we would still have this game regardless. But moving forward, I mean, when it comes to the conference, we're going to see some of these, traditional AAC West games and AAC East games that were, almost rivalries, I guess you could say, they're going to disappear. And we might not see Houston versus Memphis every year. Might not see Houston versus SMU every year. Just because now they're going to 11 teams, and thank God UConn is gone. By the way, can we talk about that for half a second? Goodbye. Good riddance.
Yeah, what a terrible, not terrible, could have been worse, but just, very uneventful way to exit.
Well, they were beating Temple for a while. I was a little bit scared about that.
I know. I was going to send you something, what is going on with your team? But then the next time I looked, it was, 42-17.
Yeah, basically the same here. I was just should I be worried? Then I look again, I'm like, nah, I shouldn't be. It's just UConn. But yeah, good riddance to UConn. So we can put that on this podcast too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See ya. Never.
We don't need to talk about you guys anymore. Good riddance.
Who are we going to bash on next year?
ECU.
Whoa.
USF.
Okay, I can get on board with that.
Oh, God. I guess I just mentioned them for a second. We'll talk literally a few minutes about Charlie Strong getting fired.
Bye-bye. See you later, sucker.
I mean, doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I think we talked about that potential being for, a month almost at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Charlie. I don't think he's, it's not one of those, I'm glad he's gone. Because he seemed like a good dude, but he just wasn't getting it done.
The people of Tampa are glad he's gone.
I know, but here's the thing. Last year it was the O coordinator, and if they got a new O coordinator, it would solve all their problems. And then it's injuries here and injuries. Just there's certain people that just they'll make any excuse other than maybe they're just not a good football team.
Maybe they're not a good football team.
Like Houston wasn't a good football team. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, they had injuries and they had they were dealing with a bunch of stuff, but they just weren't a good football team. You ever think about that? Maybe groundbreaking stuff. They're not a good football team.
They really weren't.
It's just I don't know.
Let's hit that for a second too. So they've already got, I believe it was Isaiah Chambers already announced that he was transferring out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you feel the same way as I do, but I think he's the first of many. I think a lot of what happened down in Houston rubbed people the wrong way, not just in Houston, but nationally as well. So I think he's going to be the first of many. I don't know what your thought is about that.
Well, it's you're going to have that everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. If you have a new coaching staff, there's going to be a handful of guys that they just don't fit with the new coaching staff, or they just want a new opportunity because it may not even have anything to do with the coaching staff at all. But I'm not really surprised that – I was surprised that he wasn't used as much this year because I thought he was going to have a good year. But clearly that wasn't the case. But I don't know. Dana had his end-of-the-year press conference, and he said that they have like 35 kids that redshirted this year that are coming back. And then they're going to have like 20 kids, 20 freshmen or something like that. So they're going to have a ton of guys playing. So even if a handful of guys do leave, they're still going to have plenty of talent to work with.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about after that first year when a new coach comes in. I mean, you always see an influx of players disappear. I mean, Temple's seeing some of it too right now. Kenny Yeboah already announced that he's going to transfer, and he kind of was a key cog for them at the end of the season. But, yeah, I mean, I just think with some people are not too happy with how Houston played. I mean, if you're on that Houston team, there are people on that team who certainly think that they quit on this season. Chambers might be one of those guys. I mean, he'll never probably tell us openly, but I have a feeling that we're going to see more and more, especially coming out of Houston. Because, if you're a senior on that team, well, I guess I should put it this way. If you're a junior, because if you're a senior, you're done. But if you're a junior, I mean, that has to rub you the wrong way. Like, hey, we're going to tank this year, basically, just to try to win next year. Because, I mean, okay, we've talked about it numerous times. Their schedule this year was difficult. We knew that coming into this year that, I mean, getting even 8 wins was going to be a struggle. We didn't expect it to be this bad, obviously. But, like, we've already talked about next year. The schedule is a little bit lighter, but it still doesn't guarantee, like, I mean, you can't even guarantee, though, that they're going to win the conference next year.
No.
So what, you know what I mean? So, like, what is the ultimate goal by redshirting all these guys?
Well, I guess if you look at it on the other end, though, like, if you get a new coaching staff and you have the spring and the summer to learn a new offense, are you going to be as good as, like, we'll use Derek King as the example. He's been the starter for a year and a half. So if he kept the same coaching staff, he would have a firm grasp on the offense. He would know the ins and outs. And you could argue that he'd play better because he knows what he's doing and he can make checks a little bit more comfortably. Whereas now he gets Dana's system, and he has a spring and summer to learn it, and then the first 4 games don't go as well. Yeah, you could argue that he's quitting on the team, but you could also make the argument that he's trying to get better so he gives his team a better chance to win. Because I guarantee you, if they start winning football games next year, even if they don't win the conference, like, people are going to be okay that he sat out. They'll look at it as he sat out to make the team better, not he sat out to be selfish.
So my counter to that is, are you really making the team better? But that 1 year you're not better. So what are you getting? You know, what are you making better? I guess maybe, you know, you're setting the foundation for Holgorsen. But if you're King, like we've talked about a lot, like, other than if he thinks that this is going to help him out moving forward with his NFL career, it's kind of a dicey move.
Yeah, but when Derek King's maybe 21, 22 years old, when you're between that 18 and 23 range, like, a year is a big difference. Your body's still, especially when you're coming out of high school, obviously there's exceptions, but when you're coming out of high school, your body is still growing. A lot of these kids come into college and they put on a lot of muscle when they get here, so, and then they have to learn a new game and adapt, so you can make the argument that he is getting better because he's given himself a year to develop. And I mean, he's really only been a full-time quarterback for 1 season. So you give him more time to become a better quarterback. I don't see an issue with that.
I don't know. That's the thing. It, to bring it back to what I was saying about Chambers, like, we don't know what's going on. We're not there every day, so we don't know what's going on inside there. But we had the case, I'm blanking on the kid's name, but the offensive lineman that came out and just blasted Dana.
Oh, Justin Murphy.
That's what I had a feeling his last name was Murphy, but I can't remember his first name. No, he came out with, you know, that whole spiel, basically. And, you know, there's all these other rumblings. I'm going to be curious to see what happens down there in Houston these next couple weeks, because we know that transfer portal is already getting warm,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to get hot once we get into full season a little bit after that.
Well, Felipe Franks and Jake Bentley said they're transferring. Felipe might go pro, but they said they might transfer. Yeah. So that's like, you already got two kind of big names in there. So it's, we're probably due for a few more.
That's what I mean. I feel like there's going to be, you know, quarterbacks of, you know, from backup quarterbacks to big time programs that we don't know about now who are going to be stars in a year or two. I mean, you always see that. I mean, a couple of years ago, did we really expect Brady White to be, you know, one of the nation's leader in passing? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, we expect him to be solid, but did we expect him to be like this? I don't think so. I mean, you always see cases like that. You know, some of these guys, when they go to a different program, they really start to light it up. Hopefully, yeah, a couple of those guys end up in the American.
We'll see.
USF could use a bunch of them. A whole lot of them. All right, I guess let's dive a little bit deeper into this championship game because, I mean, that's really all we got to talk about until next week. We can talk bowl season and that Army-Navy game, which, man, by the way, Army-Navy game, I think coming in this year, we would have had the complete opposite records in our head.
Yeah, for each team.
Yeah, I mean, complete opposite. I would have figured the Army would have been the team that's coming into this game 9-2, and Navy at 5-7.
Mm-hmm.
And I laid major duds on my over-under picks this year. Major duds. I think I got like 3 right.
Oops.
Yeah, Cyrus got a bunch right, though. Shout out to him for being way better than me this year. Finally. But yeah, like I said, conference championship game. It's a repeat of this past week. It is now number 20, Cincinnati. Taking on number 17, Memphis. Game's at 3:30 Saturday. It's on ABC. According to the ESPN app, Memphis is a 9-point favorite. I saw literally earlier today that Memphis was an 11-point favorite, which was the same spread as last week, which Memphis did not cover. But, I mean, the line does make sense. I guess the minor adjustment takes into effect that Desmond Ridder is playing. Last week he was not. But I personally don't – I mean, from what we've seen from Ridder the past month, it's been kind of shaky. And then I guess, you know, they're saying there was an injury for it, so that was the reason why they held him out last week. But from everything – I'm still not sold on this Bearcats team, even though they only have 2 losses on the season. Just how they've played these past couple, this past month between the game against USF, ECU, even barely squeaking by against Temple. And then I give them credit. I thought Memphis was going to blow them out last week. You know, they kind of hang tough in there for a while. But I still don't see anything changing this week. Like you said earlier, I think Memphis already proved that they're the conference champion. I just hope that last week's win doesn't make them come into this game kind of too relaxed and they blow it. Because at this point, I just want to see Memphis. Memphis, in my eyes, is the best G5 school. I don't even think it's close. Boise, no. No, you do agree or you don't agree?
No, I agree with you. Memphis just they're the best.
And, yes. Well, I think offensively, I think it's not even close. Like Boise cannot put the firepower in the field that Memphis does.
Right.
And I'm not sure where Boise is at this point, but literally a couple of weeks ago they were down to their second and the third string quarterback.
I know they've been dealing with injuries.
So. Give me Memphis all day. In my eyes, there's no reason why I shouldn't be Memphis in there. If they lose this game, because we got no choice. You see the Broncos in there, but I mean, from everything we've seen, there's some people that will still say Memphis shouldn't have lost that game to Temple because of that one play. I don't remember if you remember that play, that controversial call where some say Mangafico caught it, some say he didn't. But a lot of people point to that one play being right.
Yeah, he caught it. I don't care what you say.
I agree with it, too. But I was happy at the time as the top guy. But, which is – that's the difference right now for Memphis being an undefeated team, and we're not even having this discussion. They could probably lose this game, and they're still in. But, yeah, my alma mater had to mess that up a little bit.
Mess things up. Yeah, and, well, I don't understand why the line isn't just 10, because that was the score. It was a 10-point win for Memphis, so why isn't it just 10? Maybe they think Desmond Ridder's worse than Ben Bryant by to make it a point different, but it shouldn't just be 10.
Don't doubt Vegas, man. They always know.
It's the same location. Everything is literally the same except for the quarterback.
There is an extra day of preparation, right?
Is there? Oh, yeah, they played on Friday.
Yeah, they played on Friday.
Whatever. It should still be 10.
I mean, I still agree with that. I don't understand that at all. It should be 10. Well, last week it was 11, so I guess Ridder gives them a one point. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But I just, like I said, I just don't see, unless the duo of Warren and Dokes manage to pop off a couple big plays.
Which they can. Memphis' defense isn't exactly elite.
Exactly. But, like, I'm going to be honest. Bryant impressed me a little bit last week. Oh, this makes you wonder how he's the backup to Ridder, just because what we have seen from Ridder this past. I mean, we've seen Ridder with games where he's thrown under 50% multiple times.
Yeah.
So, I can understand, okay, if he was injured, okay, I could see why that was happening. But when you have a kid like Bryant, who showed against Memphis, who we just said is the best G5 team, he can almost keep him in a game. I mean, we're not there seeing practice every day, but I don't know. It just seemed like a move that they could have made a long time ago. Maybe that helps them in this discussion, instead of struggling against all those teams I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, I really am looking forward to watching Memphis offense and Cincinnati's defense go at it again. But just Memphis just has too many weapons for, like, Cincinnati can't keep up in a shootout. They just can't. Not even just the quarterback. They just don't have the offense to score that many points.
And that's why I think, honestly, Memphis, with all those offensive pieces, they could really keep up with anybody.
They're not reliant upon one guy. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell's had, like, he's obviously exploded and been a key guy, but you look at, like, even the SMU game, I think Gainwell had, like, 60 yards total in that game or something like that. And it was Antonio Gibson and DeMonte Coxey that were taking over. So it's like they have – and then you talk about Joey Magnifico. Like, you have so many guys that you don't just need to rely on one guy to win you the game.
Yeah, and now they're getting a healthy Patrick Taylor back. And he's running hard right now. So, I mean, they've got pieces, especially on offense, especially this tail half of the season. I really think, like – if I saw an LSU-Memphis game, I would think that's going to be a shootout. Like, who wouldn't want to see that in a potential playoff game?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand, is people are like, I only want to watch Georgia and LSU play. It's like, why? Why you don't want to watch? Even you look at 2 years ago with UCF, like, you're telling me you wouldn't want to watch UCF in the playoff, and people are always like, well, they didn't play anybody. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, look how entertaining they are.
Oh, yeah, they can run the score with anybody.
I'm not, like, I don't buy into a brand just because, it's LSU or, it's Alabama. It's like, if they don't play good football or it's not fun to watch, I'm not watching. I don't care who it is.
That's going to be the problem until they expand. And I do think expansion is inevitable. I think we've talked about how, a lot of these teams, when they're doing their scheduling, 10 years down the road, kind of like I was talking about earlier, but, like, they're doing their scheduling with more than one good conference game, out-of-conference game, I should say.
Right.
So I think they have, they have that mentality. It's like, hey, we got to beef up our schedules because that day is coming. Hopefully it is coming. It makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
Arguments, the stupid arguments between injury and safety, or how do you make the schedule work? Trust me, they'll figure it out. Sports always figure that crap out.
I know. It's like people – I feel like there's going to be more money. Yeah, right. And it's – I think people just like – to make their argument work, they're just like – it's like they think stupid people are putting everything together. And like, yeah, it's not going to be a perfect system, but like it's not that hard to put together when you have the right people doing it. And the people who would be scheduling it would know what they're doing. So it's not like expansion is this impossible task that no one can figure out.
I mean, they figured out how to do four. Why can't they figure out how to, you know what I mean? It's really not that hard to come up with the solution to this. They will just find excuses after excuses. Just like the NCAA finds excuses for our players not to get paid for their name and likeness yet.
Right.
Always some BS behind that. All right, I guess this is it's going to be a short version since we only got one game to talk about. Anything else you wanted to dive into before we wrap this one up?
Nah, man, this weekend's going to be fun.
I'm going to be curious to see how this playoff actually ends up. I'm sure when we talk next week, we'll be complaining about something.
Well, yeah, we always do. All we do is complain and say that your team is no good. But your team is no good, so.
My team is no good.
And your team's 8-4.
Yeah, I'll take that. Coming in this year, I didn't see that coming, so I'll take 8-4 season.
I did not see that coming either. So
I didn't know what we were going to get this year, so I will
cannot complain.
Now we just got to see what happens next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess on that note, we will wrap up this episode of the Underdog Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and leave us reviews however you're listening to this episode. And until next week, when we know our conference champion, thanks for listening to our Joe Talk.